listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at www.svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace, mercy, and peace be with you this Easter season from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. Today we hear in church about Stephen getting stoned, and not in the good way. Oh, good morning. You know I was born in the wrong generation. I've quoted Crosby, Stills, and Nash in here. Today it's Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan is a poet, whether we like him or not, so there are always layers to his lyrics, but his infamous song, Rainy Day Women, is said to have been inspired not only by the new state flower of Colorado and Washington, but also and foremost, actually, foremost by this text from the Acts of the Apostles that Nancy just read for us, this first lesson. You know that Bob Dylan song? Well, they'll stone you when you're trying to be so good. I need a guitar. They'll stone you just like they said they would. They'll stone you when you're trying to go home. They'll stone you when you're there all alone. But I would not feel so all alone. Everybody must get stoned. Okay, tell your friends you sang that song in church this morning. This was actually the inspiration for Bob Dylan's song. Part of the inspiration. On a more serious note, do you know why Stephen was stoned? Why he got pelted to death with rocks? I mean, our lesson today just picks up and he's suddenly throwing rocks at him. Why? What did he do? Well, it's because he just preached a sermon, actually. And not the most riveting sermon, so a warning to us preachers. I don't think that's why they stoned him, though. You can read the sermon for yourself in Acts 6 when you go home today, if you like. All he does in that sermon, in Acts chapter 6, this lesson is from Acts chapter 7, all he does in that chapter before, in his sermon, is rehearse the salvation history. The salvation history is the same thing that we rehearse before Holy Communion in the words of institution. We recall the great works of God through the ages, God's presence with God's people, God's promises, God's faithfulness is the hymn that we'll sing after this sermon. Stephen is just rehearsing all these works of God. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful retelling. He starts with Abraham and Sarah. We often start all the way back to Abraham. He starts with Abraham and Sarah. We could start with Adam and Eve, or the very beginning of creation, and then start to just tell that story. How would you tell that story to a little child, maybe at bedtime? There was this guy named Abraham and his wife named Sarah, and God called them and asked them to go to a strange land. And then the story just unrolls from there. This is all Stephen does in this sermon in Acts chapter 6. It's a great retelling, but frankly, it's nothing controversial or incendiary in any way. It's pretty exhaustive, if you ask me. I read through it, and I started to feel myself skimming over parts like, oh, yeah, we know this. Until he concludes his sermon, comparing the ancient Israelites and their stubbornness to that of his own hearers. And every sentence suddenly becomes packed with a punch. It starts like this, end of chapter 6. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in hearts and ears. Come back to that later. You are forever opposing the Holy Spirit, just as your ancestors used to. Which of the prophets did your ancestors not persecute? They killed those who foretold the coming of the righteous one, and now you have become his betrayers and murderers. You are the ones that received the law as ordained by angels, and yet you have not kept it. Then chapter 7 begins. When they heard these things, they became enraged and ground their teeth at Stephen. So there's our setup. for Stephen getting stoned. It sets a little bit of context. I'm not sure they were justified in reacting like this, although that kind of reaction was normal. Remember, Jesus stopped a woman from being stoned during his ministry. Stephen was just calling them out. And I imagine it was his community, who he actually knew and loved. They weren't just strangers that he was shouting at. He was trying to be so good. Quite a turn in action that these chapters about St. Stephen take. From this kind of a lullaby to suddenly a barn burner. From preaching to suddenly stoning. And what might we learn from what's happened here to St. Stephen? And what he's done. I think there is much to be said here, much to inspire us here from the story of St. Stephen that we hear anew. We only hear this, by the way, once every 3 years. So it's a special day. What might we learn? I think there's much to be said here for standing up in the face of opposition. This story takes place in a big book called The Acts of the Apostles. That's the actions of the apostles, not the acts like this. It's the actions of the apostles. The actions of the apostles after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, after the Holy Spirit has been infused into the followers. It is kind of the now what book of the Bible, of the Easter season. And one of the actions of the apostles, of Jesus' followers, which is what we are too, is the standing up and saying a hard word, preaching a hard word, even if it might not be popular. It's calling our friends, our sisters and brothers in Christ, calling them out when they need to be. Speaking the truth in love. It's a wonderful way to put it. Speaking the truth in love. Some examples of people who have done this through the centuries. I can't help but think of the famous ones. You know, Martin Luther King Jr. stood up and spoke the truth in love. Dietrich Bonhoeffer stood up against the Nazi army and spoke the truth in love. Maybe you've known people who have done that too. But it's important to note who Stephen was. He was not a pastor or a bishop like Bonhoeffer or Martin Luther King. Those are just two examples. He certainly wasn't one of the 12 disciples. When we list the 12 disciples, we don't say Stephen's name. He was a deacon, newer to the church. He was a server, is the translation of deacon. He was a layperson, a member of the church, just an everyday Christian, if you will. Someone who, it says, served at the table so that the apostles could minister the word. He served the food so that they could serve the word. And yet, he was the first to speak out and tell the truth in love. You all aren't listening, Stephen says. You aren't learning from God's story here. Do you hear how faithful God is, people? Stephen says. You all are opposing the Holy Spirit. You are uncircumcised in your hearts and in your ears. And so Stephen becomes the first martyr of the church. This everyday Christian becomes the first martyr of the church. And that shows us that God is incarnate in the world after the resurrection. The Holy Spirit has been poured out onto all God's people. And it reminds us that all of us, it reminds us that you have that same power too, to speak the truth in love. How might we speak together better? How might we say what's really on our minds to the people that we love, even if that's a hard word? I wouldn't recommend starting off, you stiff-necked people. But when the timing is right, how do we tell the truth to those who need to hear it? I think about interventions. Maybe some of you have been part of an intervention. Intervention is sitting someone down and calling them back to the God who loves them and the life that reflects that. That's really what an intervention is. And I think Stephen is standing up and doing an intervention out of love, not out of pride or out of being too preachy. He's just one of them. But he's standing up in the midst of them and he's saying, you're opposing the Holy Spirit, people. Let's all be about God's work of standing up and doing the right thing, even if it is countercultural or unpopular or frightening. Let's not oppose the Holy Spirit. I'm also stuck in this text with how St. Stephen was filled with forgiveness as he's being stoned to death. I'm not sure if you caught that in the reading, but they are literally pelting rocks at this man, this kind server of food who's just said something that's upset them, and they're pelting rocks at him. And what does he say? Does he pick up a rock and throw it back? Does he say cruel things as they're putting him down? He says, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Who does that remind you of? These are the words that Jesus said on the cross, remember? Not quite those same words, but just earlier in the Gospel of Luke, same author as the book of Acts, Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." He also says, St. Stephen does, "Lord, Jesus, receive my spirit," which sounds very similar to Jesus on the cross, who says, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." Remember that? You see, on this side of the resurrection, God's people are filled with the power to do and say things just as radical as Jesus. That's what Easter is all about. That's what the season of Pentecost that we're coming toward is all about. And that means, filled with God's power, Jesus' love, we are able to shower love and forgiveness even on our murderers. Life on this side of Easter morning means that everyone, not just bishops and pastors and people who work in the church or who have fancy theological degrees, every one of Jesus' followers is capable of extraordinary things, like standing up for truth in the face of opposition and pressure, like forgiving our persecutors and resisting violence. Life on this side of Easter morning means that everyday followers of Jesus are now infused with God's love and the ability to forgive. Forgiveness is what it's all about. It's the Christian's version of circumcision. What do I mean by that? The whole point of circumcision in the ancient Jewish time was to set the people apart. Just mark them as different. But it was exclusive. It was exclusive to gender, of course. Well, forgiveness is a way of marking us differently, and it is not exclusive to gender. It hurts a bit, and it's a challenge. It's not natural. It's not the way that we're born. It's not the way that nature is, but yet it marks us as different. The rest of the world's reaction when rocks are being pelted, and the natural reaction, I think, is to get even. Maybe not by picking up the rock and throwing it back. Maybe we take more passive-aggressive forms of getting back at someone. An eye for an eye, right? A stone for a stone. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back. Might not be the same way, but I'll get you somehow. Right? That's the way the world works. But Jesus told us and then showed us, and even everyday Stephen told us and shows us and reminds us again today to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. He shows us that. "Lord, do not hold this sin against them," he cries out, in love. It's not just a bishop's tagline for the media. You know, it's like a nice buzz line. Let's be sure to pray for our enemies. It makes news headlines if you say that. It's not just that, though. Stephen reminds us that it's every Christian's call to forgive. Oh, and we can be stiff-necked about it at times. Stephen was right about that, if we're honest. But filled with the Holy Spirit, we can't do it by ourselves, but filled with the Holy Spirit, as the resurrected Jesus has filled us with the Spirit, we are capable of extraordinary things, of extraordinary courage and extraordinary forgiveness. So this is what the way, the truth, and the life is. Jesus says to his disciples in our gospel text today, "I am the way and the truth and the life," right in front of you. Don't be looking for it somewhere else. I'm right here, Jesus says. I'm right here before you. Here's what this looks like. Stephen shows us. It means we're given courage to stand up and speak. It means we're given strength to forgive the people who throw rocks at us. We knew this was coming. Just like in the song, "They'll stone us just like they said they would." We knew that this was going to be a tough road. The baptized life isn't a cakewalk. We knew this getting into it, but sisters and brothers in Christ, We have just what we need from God to do these things. We do. We have just what we need. We have just enough to withstand, even in the face of death itself. This is God's power. This is God's gift and grace. This is God's love and faithfulness poured out for us. What we have, what you have, St. Stephen reminds us and teaches us again today, is enough. What you have is enough to stand up and do the right thing. We might not always choose to exercise that gift, but you have it within you to stand up and speak. God gives you that. You have the ability to forgive your enemies. We might not always exercise that ability, but you have it within you. God gives you that, and it is enough. And as we struggle with these things, which are very difficult, God will not abandon us this day in this fiery season. It is a fiery season in so many ways. In this fiery season and in these frightening days, God will not ever abandon us. God gives us enough. Amen.
From all of us at Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit www.elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.